Morning. We are continuing in 1 Corinthians 13, where we've been looking at a word, love. Oh, here we go. Thank you, Mike. We have been looking lately at the word love. It is very easy to think we're doing word studies, and we're not. We're actually looking at the character of God. As we discuss love, we're actually discussing who God is. What is he like? And none of us were born knowing what God is like. We have had to learn what God is like, because as we found out this morning during breaking the bread, we had to be redeemed. And if I could read from Colossians, I wrote Colossians 1:13, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness." So at one time, if you're a believer, follower of Jesus Christ, you recognize that you were not born in the kingdom of God. You were born in the dominion, and you were a citizen of the dominion. You were a subject of the dominion of darkness. You accept that. These are some fundamental truths. "He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So, if you're a follower of Christ, welcome to the new kingdom. Welcome to the new kingdom, where Jesus rules. And the way of the kingdom is love. We have much, much to learn, because we are babes in this new kingdom. We were not born and raised in the kingdom of the Son. We were raised in the kingdom, the dominion of darkness. Love did not reign there. So we have much to learn. It's kind of strange sometimes. We think we know what we're dealing with this new God who comes, so to speak, to us, motivated by love to reach us. We all know John 3:16, right? This is how God loved the world, that he gave his only Son. So, motivated by love, as we come into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And the currency of that kingdom, if I may use the word, the currency of the kingdom, the currency of the realm, this term from the old days, is love. The currency of the realm of love. We are strangers to this kingdom. When you landed in this kingdom from the dominion of darkness, you're new. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn to understand about this kingdom. But the most important thing now we are understanding. Paul says something very important. At the end of chapter 12, we have to know what precedes chapter 13, right? We have to know the context. He says, "I will now show you a most excellent way," or the most excellent way. Paul then goes into this essay of love. So he's showing us the most excellent way, which is the way of love. So we're not studying words here. We're studying an excellent way to live. We're studying and we're looking at and we're contemplating this new kingdom, which the realm of the kingdom is love. That's the language, that's the currency. This is how this kingdom works, through love. And it wasn't a special word. Agape is not a special word that only Christians knew. It was a word that existed in their alphabet, in their language. It wasn't special to Christians, but now, because of Jesus, it's taken on a new meaning. So the followers of Jesus understood love as we have to understand love. In our culture, it is not love as our surrounding culture understands love. Okay, so are you with me so far? So you come to this kingdom, and you're new. So you have this desire to know this king. You have a love for this king. You don't even know why, but he's connecting to you, and you're connecting to him in a new and a fascinating way. And it's all new, and it's kind of exciting, and you're on the process of learning how to operate in this kingdom. And there's a great verse I've been parked on Jeremiah 6:16 for months, and it's kind of just come into my mind. It says, here you are, you're in this kingdom, and you're waking up, and you're starting to follow this new king, and love is how he operates. And he says, stand at the crossroads, and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest to your souls. That's what Jeremiah was telling the people of the kingdom of Judah. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest to your soul. Okay, so you've been doing that as a new citizen of this kingdom of God, the son he loves, and you're enjoying having a new way to live. You're loving things that you didn't love before, and you're not liking what you used to love, and your world is changing, and you're seeing love in action in your life. You have learned that grace has come to you, teaching you to say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness. You're learning these things. And so basically you're learning the way of love. You're learning the kingdom rules. This is the currency of the kingdom. But you have a teacher, right? You have much to learn, but you have a very willing teacher, Jesus Christ. He is the king of this kingdom, and his way is love. He said that, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? So this is his way, the most excellent way. And as Paul said, I will show you now a greater way. And he goes into this essay, chapter 13, which is love. So we're actually not doing word studies. We've been trying to maybe learn the map, a guide, the map of love, and these guideposts that give you clues as to being on the right way, because we want it to be on the right way, correct? You come to the crossroads and you're making a decision because something you also recognize, and maybe it wasn't clear to you when you came into this kingdom, that you're hauling around this old person that you're trying to shed, but you'll never be shed of him. And that's a reality. We have to acknowledge that this person you're hauling around, your old self, the old sin nature, it's a reality. You're hauling it around with you, but you're feeding the new self created in Christ Jesus, right? So you want to feed and nourish the new guy, and you're trying to starve this one, but he dies hard. So here you are, you're going through the kingdom, and you come to the crossroads, and the grace of God has come to you, teaching you to say, I want to choose the good way. I want to go down the ancient path. This is the way that brings comfort and rest to my soul. So all these words we have been getting here, it's patience, it's kindness, this doesn't envy, not boastfulness. These are little mileposts on the way of love through this kingdom that reflects God's way, the excellent way, the most excellent way. So you're just gonna stay on this path. And some of you have become mature in your journey, and you've traveled farther along in this journey, and you're more mature in this journey. And others, fine, you're not as mature, but you still have that same desire as that person at square one starting the journey. They have everything, as Peter says. They had everything they were given, everything they need for godliness, right? Everything they need for power and godliness to make it in this kingdom. But you just need time. You gotta stub your toe. I told you I would give you a little bookend at the first part of this chapter. I will show you the most excellent way. And the reality is I'll share it to you right now. We need to see the bookend of where this is at. On the other side of the bookend, at the very end of this, now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known. So even though we're on the path and we're in this kingdom, it's kind of gets, we don't know exactly everything perfect, but we're still moving. We're still going in the right direction, and the teacher's learning us, but no one is summa cum laude. Everybody's kind of, you know, good. Well, we're all going the right direction if you're following Christ and learning, but it gets blurry sometimes. You don't see it perfectly, but that's all right. It's just we're not there yet. When you get there, you're gonna see it as clear as you can possibly clear anything. Okay, so now I mentioned that these words are not magical, so let's look at a couple of the words that we're supposed to be looking at this morning. And the two words are love, always hopes, and always perseveres. It always hopes and always perseveres. Now, have you felt a little unable to live up to all these words that we've been following? Do you feel that you always protect, you always trust, you always hope, you always perseveres? No, this is not about being perfect. This is about going down this excellent way. This is about a journey in the kingdom of God, and these mileposts show you what it's like to be in his kingdom. This is who he is, right? And we're getting a reflection of him, or we are appreciating who God is through these clues along our path. So we learn too. Okay, so sometimes when you come to the milepost, like maybe I come to a milepost and it may say, it is not self-seeking. That's that milepost. And I say, oh boy, okay, I'm gonna pitch my tent here for a while, and I think God is gonna deal with me. That's how life is, and I'm dealing with this one here, you know, being first and not last, being first in line, not last in line, wanting to be the limelight. You know, that's just, you have other things. You can look down this list and you can see we're on the path where you are excelling, perhaps. Maybe you have some gifts in some of these areas, and maybe you have challenges, but you're on that path, and that's good. God deals with you. That's what we have to deal with. But these two here, always hopes, always perseveres. No, none of you always hope. None of you always persevere. That's it, because the answer is here. You see but a poor reflection. You see in part. You only know in part. You're not all the way there yet. But we learn. We're on that path. We're in the kingdom. But it always hopes and always perseveres. Now, remember, these words, hope, was not a magical word. There was no secret potions that Christians drank, and they didn't have magic words or mantras that they knew, and like hope was not a magical word for Christians. It was a hope. That word existed in Greek and in Aramaic and in Hebrew, and they knew it, and their culture knew it. But it took on meaning when the Christians got it, just like love took on meaning when Christians got it. It means something to Christians. Being redeemed, a redeemer, it means something different to a believer than it means to a non-believer, right? So hope. For a non-believer, hope just means you have a desire and you have a wish that something good will happen. But to a believer, it's more like you have a confident expectation. Even God has hope. We read about that in Romans, right? God even has hope that the creation. The creation has hope. I'm sure, if I can even say that there are times when my expectations for the world, I just want to say, they're not. I don't have much hope for the world. You know, I don't have hope for a lot of stuff in that old way. I don't have a confident expectation that all is well with the world. But you know who is? God has more hope for this world than I do. He has confident expectations. I'll read you this: that his plan is going to work. This is in Philippians. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God is confident that this is going to happen. It is sure. And because he's confident, I can be confident. I can have hope, the same hope as God has. Now, we learn also when you're in the kingdom and you're walking this path and you see hope and you pray, because a lot of people had hope in the Bible. You can read about Abraham had hope, right? That against hope, he hoped that God was going to send him and make his seed as numerous as the stars and the sand and the sea, and he was going to be a blessing to the world. He had that hope because God told him. So his hope was actually in the one who gave the hope to him, gave him this word. Did he really, truly, maybe have times when he doubted? I would say yes, because remember when that angel came to him, the angel of Jehovah, aka maybe Christ that was, right? And Sarah was in the tent and she heard these words that they were going to have a kid, and she kind of laughed. And so the angel called him on it. You were laughing. You don't believe this, huh? Okay. Zechariah, he didn't quite buy into the plan either, and so he lost his voice for a while. So we are that way. We don't believe, but that's, we see through a mirror with that mirror's fogged up. We don't see it clear. So you're still on the path. You're still moving, and then you come to the one that says always perseveres. Always perseveres. Okay, well, you read that and you say, well, I don't. Let's go on, eat, and let's move on with the day. Because this is for, nobody does this. This is for only perfect people, and you know that you're not perfect. You know you don't always persevere. So how do I love? Well, no. It's not about love. This is about the kingdom of God, and the currency of that kingdom is love. That's coin of the realm, as they used to say. And you're walking, and God says, oh, there's milepost, persevere. How are you doing on that one? Well, remember, you have much to learn. You have a teacher. So you're at the crossroads. There's the milepost, perseverance, this way. Okay, so you choose, right? You choose the good path, the good way, and you go down that, and you find rest to your soul. We learn these things. How did these old folks before us, how did they learn to persevere? How did they learn to hope? How did they do that? Well, they were in the kingdom probably longer than you or I, and they probably went down these paths, and they probably stubbed their toe on that milepost that said perseverance, and they learned. They had a teacher, the same teacher as you do, and they learned, and that's what we do. There's really no magic to any of this, and these words, they're more than just adjectives or nouns. They're actually, like, again, they're what suffuse this kingdom of God. These things are little glitters of what love is, right? And they're there to guide you as you're going down this path. Because remember, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient path, ask where the good way is, and take it, and you will find rest to your soul. So the challenge is there for each one of us every day, all throughout the day, in perseverance. Jesus said a good thing about a persistent widow who was begging and begging and begging, and the disciples got tired of her asking him to come and heal. Finally she went, this Canaanite woman, and have mercy on me, my daughter is miserably possessed by a demon. Jesus didn't answer a word, and the disciples came and said, send her away, she keeps crying out after us. And she didn't, she kept crying out. Jesus healed her. He has something nice to say about that. He praised her. He says, this is amazing. Your faith is great. Let it be done to you as you desire. Your faith is great. He appreciates that. He appreciates perseverance. Well, if you are not one who perseveres very well, I imagine on your pathway in the kingdom of God, of the Son he loves, that you will be camped out on that milepost that says perseverance, and you're going to stand there, and you're going to come to the crossroads, and you say, okay, I'm going to ask, I choose, like it says. Say no to ungodliness, because this lazy bum back here wants me to go that way. And the grace of God tells me, say no to him, and say yes to perseverance that way. That's the crossroads. And you're going to go down the way of perseverance for a while, and God's going to teach you. You're going to get stronger. And that makes you more mature in the kingdom of love. Because perseverance is one of those beautiful molecules in this thing called love, the coin of the realm. Well, I don't need to say much more about this, because you know what? This is actually about the faith journey that you're on. You've been redeemed. You've been taken out of the kingdom of the dominion of darkness. You've been brought to the kingdom of the Son that he loves, kingdom of light, kingdom of love. It operates on love. You've been brought there for a reason, and that's for you to start. I know heaven awaits, but that's the end. That's the little cherry on top. In the meanwhile, he wants to create in you the image of his son. So these citizens, these subjects of this kingdom, start looking like their king. That's the whole path of going down this path and going to these crossroads and choosing which one you're going to say no, say yes. You go down that path, you learn these things. You learn about not delighting in evil. You learn to rejoice in the truth. You learn not to boast. You learn not to be proud. You learn not to be rude. And just choose the right path. Choose the ancient path. Choose the good way and walk in it. And you will find rest to your soul. You can have hope in that, that this is a confident expectation that you will grow. I look at Noe right there, sort of new to the kingdom. No, you have much to learn, but guess what? You have a desire, and you've been an example of us to a young man in the faith, young in the faith, who wants to learn and grow. You're on the way, man. You're on that pathway, and wherever God takes you, man. And you look at another brother or sister who's been on the path longer than you. In fact, we're all sharing the same path. We're all learning from the same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who redeemed you, put you in his kingdom, to turn you, to make you look like him. So, folks, I know this is all about love, but I wanted to take it more into a story of growing and maturing, because love is the way. Paul says that. I will show you the most excellent way. And he decides that which way is the most excellent way, he says this. And now these three remain. This is the end of chapter 13, after his essay on love. Hope, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I think when we have clear language that way, the most excellent way, the way of love, in the kingdom of the Son he loves. I would just say, folks, acknowledge that. Acknowledge you're on the way. Acknowledge that you need to stop at the crossroads. It's assuming that you're moving, right? It's assuming that you're going to stop and not just go forward and make blunders. It's assuming that you're going to stop. You're going to be thoughtful about your life. You're going to pay heed to how you're living. Paul says that. Think greatly about how you are living then. And just, you know, make your king proud of you and say yes for the ancient path. Say yes to the good way. Take it, walk in it, and you will find rest to your souls. That's the kingdom of love. Father God, we thank you for the reminder to live our lives, as the Bible says, to walk, to comport ourselves, to be in this kingdom where we are surrounded. Sometimes we don't recognize what love is. It's all these things reflecting who you are, what you appreciate, what you want to emphasize in our lives. The most excellent way and the greatest is love. I pray that as we come to our crossroads daily, we will choose the ancient path. We will choose the good way. You know, we will walk in it. We will learn. We will mature. We will bring you glory by the work you have done, building in us the image of your Son, the King whom we love and serve. We pray in his name. Amen.